This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
How did Jesus Christ build his kingdom? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you found a place for the human being in building the kingdom. We know we do not build it, but we can be your servants out there telling the story. We know it's the Holy Spirit that opens the heart to show us our sins and to bring us to the foot of the cross. But Lord Jesus, may we be faithful in proclaiming the word, for we know then your Spirit will do his work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 43. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear.
Friends in Christ, 25 years ago, the well-known college basketball coach Lou Dolson spoke at our church. At that time, he was a coach at the University of Iowa. During the course of his talk, one of the men asked him, "What is the most difficult part of your job, coach?" And without hesitating, he said, "Recruiting. You have to find the right people to train them for the right job." How true that must be. It is also true as far as business and industry and the military are concerned, for they have their representatives on every campus, it seems, trying to find these gifted young people to become a part of their organization. Today, we have Jesus, who I believe was out recruiting. He was trying to find 12 men to walk with him for 3 years while he built a personal relationship within their souls and taught them what it was to be his disciples. One day, they would all be sent out to tell the story of Jesus Christ and how he could bring them into a relationship with God. But before that, it had to be the right people, and they had to be well trained. In other words, you could say when Jesus went out selecting his 12 apostles, he was in a selective mood. Note I use the word selective. And so in our text today, we have Peter, one of the 12 disciples. He was a born leader. We have his brother Andrew, had talents in other ways, extremely zealous, and he was the one who came to Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah. Come and see him. Follow him." Then we have John. He's another leader, but he's a bit less aggressive, it seems, than Peter. At least that's the way he comes off to me. And perhaps just a little bit more loving. I remember one day a person saying, if I needed a man to preach in my church of an evangelistic type, I would go find Peter. But if I were lying in bed dying, the one I would like to have by my bedside would be John. Well, that says something, doesn't it? And then there was Thomas. Thomas, he had a questioning mind. He was the one who said, unless I can be shown that he has really been raised by putting my fingers into those nail-pierced hands, I will not believe. I cannot believe. And then there was Philip. He was a caring person. He was the one who found Nathanael. And he says, come and follow me, and I'll lead you to the Savior. And so Nathanael went along, and when Jesus called Nathanael, he said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was just a little bit more cynical. And then there was Judas. Judas never did enter into a personal relationship with Christ. He had another god, and that god was money or some kind of personal prestige, whatever it might have been. But Jesus got his 12 men. He spent a long time trying to figure out which of the 12. For you see, by this time, he had many disciples. We are told, for example, in the book of Acts that there were, at the time of the ascension, at least about 160 people around there. And out of that, then he chose 12 men. These men were to become apostles. Listen to the portion of God's word. When morning came, he called the disciples to him and chose 12 of them whom he designated apostles. There are many, many disciples, but there are only 12 apostles, and that will never be any different. There are going to be no new apostles. There will be millions, we pray, new disciples. Now, there were two who were added. There was one by the name of Matthias who had to replace Judas. And then there was Paul who was added as another one. And when they questioned whether or not he was truly an apostle because he had not been with him for those 3 years, Paul asked the question, "Am I not an apostle?" In order to be an apostle, there were three characteristics necessary. First, you had to be chosen personally by Jesus Christ. Secondly, you had to have an eyewitness experience of Jesus. And thirdly, you had to receive a special revelation of the Holy Spirit who inspired you in such a way that you could speak with great authority from God. That's why they could write the scriptures. If you were not an apostle, you did not have that inspiration, and consequently, you did not write any books that found their way into Holy Scripture. Now, there are no more apostles, but as we have already said, there were and there are millions of other disciples. These are people, male and female, who trust Christ as Savior and Lord and live in a real, intimate, personal relationship with Him. They are people like you and me. And Jesus is still out recruiting. No longer is He selective, recruiting in that manner, but He's reaching out to the people of the world and saying to them, "Come, this is the way that I build my kingdom. Come and follow me." God has created people with many talents and gifts, and they all can be used in the building of the kingdom. It does not mean that we have to be of a particular nationality like once they were. It doesn't mean we have to have a lot of education. It simply means that God has called us, we live in a relationship with Him, and we are anxious to tell that story in the very best way we possibly can. We can be like Andrew. It was Andrew who found Peter. Or we can be like Philip, who found Nathanael. So we will find somebody who also will come to know Jesus Christ in that personal way, and the heavenly home will be his one day. But besides being called, and besides living in that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is necessary that the disciple be trained. Notice, Jesus took those 12 men and lived with them for 3 years, trained them in such a way that they would be fully equipped when they went on the road to tell the story. That is true today, friend. While it was true for the apostles in a particular way, it is still true for us. I have had the privilege of studying God's Word now for a lot of years, and I have tried to get the best training that was available for me. But at my age, as long as I am to serve in the kingdom in any way, continual training is necessary. Continual reading. What are some of the best minds, the most consecrated people saying regarding these blessed truths that are found in the scriptures? We need to get to places where there are great men and women of God who are there to stimulate us with good theological education. A few weeks ago, months ago now, I had the opportunity to be at the Billy Graham Retreat Center, sometimes known as The Cove. What a privilege it was to not only listen to the man who was there lecturing to us, but also to sit and have lunch or drink coffee with some great people. Most of them were clergy, but some of them were laity. It's very, very important that we have that particular training. We need to have training. Clergy needs to know laity. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. And so during the course of my years, I have tried to go to certain places where I could pick the minds of some of the people who were in places of responsibility in our community. I belonged to a study group that met the other evening, and the mayor of another town was talking to us. I sat beside him as we were eating dinner. And check out what kind of thinking this man was using as he was the mayor of that particular city. He said to me, "I am a man of faith. I am a man of prayer. I am a man who holds a very important office in my church. And I want that office to be fulfilled in the very, very best way that I can possibly do it. I think laity need to get together with pastors. If you have some complaints about the pastor, why don't you go and sit down and talk with him? Tell him how you feel. Tell him how you think he can improve his ministry." I'll never forget a loving friend who came to my office one day during the Vietnam War. Our boys were over there fighting. Some of them had come home badly wounded, and one came home dead. And one morning, in an excited way, I got into the pulpit, and I began to lambast those who I felt were responsible for this Vietnam War, killing all these boys, killing even the enemy. Was that anything that made sense? But the next morning, Monday morning, as I was beginning another week's work, a man who I'm sure loved me, a person who was very concerned about his church, came into my office, and he said, "You know, Pastor, I want to tell you that I've always appreciated coming to church, and I knew that I would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yesterday was an exception. I hope you never do that again. We come to church to hear the gospel. We can listen to that news day in and day out. And probably those who tell it to us have better access to the resources that really do count than you do. So you just tell the story of Jesus. That's what we need to hear." Well, it kind of hurt me for a few minutes, and it bothered my ego, and I had some things going on inside of me. But today, and long, long ago, that person was God's child, coming and saying to the person who had the privilege to stand in that pulpit and preach, "Tell the story. That's why we've come." Last Sunday, I had an interesting experience. You know, we live in a day of change in the church. The Word of God hasn't changed, and I don't believe it's changed one bit in this congregation that I have been affiliated with for so many years. But some of the methods have changed. You remember the old Sunday school, how we used to have it, and how I still like it because I'm as old as I am? We sat, as a boy, I sat on benches in that Sunday school there back there in Maine. We could hear what was happening in the next class, and that didn't seem to matter. But then we got to the place where we could have some Sunday school rooms. When I became a pastor and they began to have building programs, we built Sunday schools for all ages. Now we have these nice Sunday schools. Do you know what? I went into this Sunday school last Sunday. I was completely surprised. Here we have in the gymnasium of our church, and it is a large gymnasium, two fine young ladies leading in what we used to call the opening exercises. And what were they doing? They were singing. But I couldn't understand it. It wasn't "Jesus Loves Me." I hope they'll sing that someday. It wasn't some of those traditional hymns that we sang when I was a little boy. But they were these praise songs, and there was some activity with it, and they were jumping up and down, and I couldn't quite understand it. Why were they in the gym in the first place, and why were they doing this? And then finally, they put on a film. Some Sundays they have a film. Some Sundays they have a play. Some Sundays a good storyteller just tells a story. And after they were done with that, they were sent back into certain sections of this large gym, not into the Sunday school rooms, back into little sections where they sat on rugs. And there was someone there who began to talk to them that they might enter into a discussion on what they had seen in the film, and probably what they had sung at the beginning of the session. When I walked out of there, I thought, well, this is a new way of doing it. I heard the same message, absolutely the same message. And I knew that those people who were telling a story were telling it with great conviction. But when the leader of that whole section of our Sunday school visited with me later, she asked me, what do you think of it? And I said, honestly, it is not the way that we did it. It is not the way that I particularly like it. But if that's communicating to these children, fine. The only thing that I would ask you is to make sure that those teachers who are sitting on the floor talking to these kids about what they have seen and heard earlier, first, know Jesus Christ themselves. Secondly, that they're in church, that the children can see them. And thirdly, that they are forever being well trained. I still believe we ought to have Sunday school teachers' meetings. Before we let anybody loose on a Sunday morning to teach our children, we ought to know what they're teaching them. And that takes training, a personal relationship, a feeling of a call from the Lord, and then forever reading and trying to do it just a little bit better. Friends, Jesus is out recruiting, and he's recruiting you and me. If you are not a part of Christ's team to build the kingdom, you are being recruited today. Come and give me your life, and then be a part of the most exciting venture that there is in our society today. And if you are on the team, you are to become the best servant possible in the place where Christ Jesus has put you. Because as the old coach said, so I believe is true, recruiting is one of the most important parts of the game. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to
will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we pray for the churches today, for the Sunday schools, and for all other institutions that have been called by you to make clear the gospel of Christ. Grant, O God, that those who have those places of responsibility may understand that they have been called by God. And then we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may be used by the Holy Spirit, for we know that we can do nothing by ourselves. Lord, we thank you that that church, which you started now 2,000 years ago, continues to move out into society, to change the lives of people, to make them your eternal children, to take those who have fallen so low and who of us haven't, and lift us to new heights. Father, for all of the blessings you have so graciously bestowed upon us, thank you, and make it an honor for us to serve as one of your recruits. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners throughout the world. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Pastor Larson, our executive director and board president, as well as other interesting information concerning this ministry. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our website address is ChristianCrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.